All right, before we get started, I just have a quick announcement that I need to make. It's great to be back here again, but quick announcement. I promised JR that I would do this. A friend of JR's about a year ago bought two box seats for tonight's Super Bowl, like for like $1,700 a piece. But when he bought them, he didn't know that today was going to be the day of his wedding. He didn't know he was going to get married, and it was going to be today. So now he can't go, and he needs somebody to take his place. So we thought we would just pause here just for a second. If anyone knows anybody that's interested, it's at 5 p.m. today at St. Paul's Church. Boom! St. Paul. Her name's Darlene. She's about 5'4", loves to cook, long walks on the beach. She'll be the one in the white dress, so if you know anybody interested, see JR afterwards. These are the kinds of friends he has. This is unbelievable. It's great to be back here and to be with you all. Thank you for having me. Thank you. Did you know that the most valuable real estate in the entire world today resides in our own minds and our own hearts? The most valuable real estate in all of the world resides in our own minds and in our own hearts. To prove that, for tonight's Super Bowl, if you wanted to take out a 30-second commercial to capture the attention of the people's minds and hearts, did you know that it would cost you $4 million to do so? We are in the midst right now in our culture of a war of trying to capture our attention, to capture our minds and our hearts and get us to look in a particular direction. Did you know that the marketers will tell us that we are bombarded with about 3,000 messages every single day? Messages that are trying to tell us to look a certain way, think a certain way. All day long, we are bombarded with these messages trying to capture that real estate. The Harvard Business Review, just a couple of years ago, they came up with a study that said that the modern worker today, they studied the modern worker, thousands of people that they deemed to be the modern worker today, and all the study did is capture how many times in an average day did somebody start a task and then shift their focus and attention and jump over here and start working on something else. That's all it did is capture how many times in an average day we shift our focus from one task to another. And the study showed that we're shifting our focus anywhere between 300 and 500 times in an average day, which, oh, by the way, is leading to about a 30% productivity rate. There's a war to capture our attention. A friend of mine, because of this, tells me that in today's culture, we have an effing problem. I got some people to look at me now. There we go. And he reminds me, says, we have an effing problem right now in this culture. We forget. We live in such a distracted and busy time that we forget why we even do what we do, who we're trying to be in the world, and what needs our focus, our minds, and our hearts. Which is why this church has been on this journey to remember. That's why you've been on this journey the last 4 or 5 weeks to remember. JR, in fact, was the one that said he chose that word for the church for this year, that in the midst of this distracting culture, what would it mean for us as a church to remember? And then you may know that over the last few weeks, you may remember hearing that Kristen started it off by reminding us what did it look like to repurpose. And that maybe part of that process to remember is repurposing or returning back to why we do what we do and what is the true mission of the church. And then Rustin talked about releasing, He talked about Curious George and reminded everybody, what's the baggage that we carry in our lives individually or collectively that we need to let go of? And then Hillary last week, she gave the great boiling frog image and talked about what did it mean for us to recast, to find new ways of thinking and doing in the world. And so today, depending on the translation that you have in your Bible, it tells us over 160 times, hey, remember this. You heard it in the scripture today. Remember this. Refresh your memory. Hey, don't forget this point. And so today, we're going to talk about what it means to respond. And what does it mean for us to become first responders? But would you pray with me? Dear Lord, in the midst of the most distracting times in the history of the world, I ask that you help us to quiet our minds. Help us to put our focus and our attention on you, to open our minds and hearts to your presence, and to be open to where we are being led. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I want to introduce you to a guy named Servino. Servino is a bellhop in Malaysia. I was in Malaysia a couple of years ago for two different speeches. And I had one speech, and then I had another speech about 17 days apart. And so you're not going to go to Malaysia and do one speech, and then turn around and fly home, and then turn around and fly back to Malaysia for another speech. So I was there for about 18 straight days, and while I was there, the same thing happened every single day. Every single day, the same thing happened. I'd come down from my hotel room in the elevator, and as soon as the elevator doors would open, I'd step right out into this lobby. It was a huge hotel with these big high ceilings in the lobby, and there were people everywhere. And there were like 30 or 40 different bellhops that were running around helping people with their bags, all running around doing stuff. And every single day, from clear across the other side of the lobby, here comes Servino. And Servino had this funny little trot that he would do. The way he would move through the crowd was kind of funny. He'd come running and he'd be going, like weaving in and out of the people. And I wouldn't even see him at first because he was a short little guy. And then all of a sudden he would appear and he'd come out of the crowd and he'd start, and then I'd hear him and he'd start saying, Mr. Jason, Mr. Jason. And all of a sudden he'd come all the way up to me and then he'd stick this landing. He'd come and he'd run and go, huh, like, you know, right in front of me, like, ah. And he'd stick this landing and he'd look right at me and he'd say, Mr. Jason, how may I serve you today? And then he'd follow up and he'd say, how can I make your experience here today better? And I'd look at him and I'd say, dude, Servino, we've been doing this for 15 straight days. I was like, I got nothing to share with you. You're doing a great job. Where's the evaluation form? I'll fill it out. I'll give you 5 stars. Whatever I got to give you, you are killing it. You're doing great. You're the best. And so finally, and every single day he did this, every single day his response was the same. Went out of his way to tell me, how can I serve you? How can I make your experience here better? And so finally on like day 18, he comes and he goes through his little trot and he sticks the landing and he looks right at me and he gives me, how can I serve you? And finally I looked at him and said, Servino, actually today I got something. I said, I'm a pale, bald guy, and I'm in Malaysia, and I'm going to be outside all day, and I'm going to get crushed by the sun. I need sunscreen. Where do I find sunscreen? And then he went from this, like, the landing, he did this little pivot move, and then he started to go, oh, Mr. Jason, it'd be my pleasure, and he started to, like, usher me, you know, which is really awkward to walk next to somebody who's doing that. And so he went all the way through the lobby, and there he was, right next to me. We went all the way out, and then the doors opened, and we went right out to where, you know, near the taxis, and we kept going. And so finally, we got out to the street, and then it clued into me. Servino was about to take me literally down the street to some little mini mart where I could find sunscreen. And so finally I looked at him and I said, no, Servino, you don't have to physically take me. Just tell me where to go and I'll go get it. And he looked at me and again he said, but Mr. Jason, how may I now serve you? What can I now do to make your experience here better? His response was consistent. His response was clear. How can I serve you? Now, the reason I'm telling you about Servino is because I was there for 18 straight days, and I can't tell you a single thing about any of the other bellhops. I can't tell you anything about any of the others, although I know they were doing their jobs. I know they were running around doing a bunch of stuff. Some of them even helped me with things, but I can't tell you anything about them. But every single day, Servino's response went out of his way to come to me and say, I'm here, and how can I serve you? How can I make your experience here better? The English novelist E.M. Forster said, one person with passion is better than 40 people merely interested. One person with passion is better than 40 people merely interested. I mean, we've got that on display right up here today, right? One person with passion is better than 40 people merely interested, right? We've got people of passion all through this place. But I think about Servino and I think about that, and it's made me look in the mirror and ask the question of, what is my response? Everyday life, am I going to choose to be a passionate husband? Amy and I have been married now for 15 years. What's it going to look like for me to be a passionate husband in year 16? I have 3 young kids. What does it mean to be a passionate father rather than one that's just merely interested? For my friends and for the world, what does it mean to be passionate rather than merely interested? For this place, what does it mean for you to be passionate or merely interested? What would our response be? On August 20th, 1999, my uncle, Rick Barger, was a senior pastor at one of the fastest growing Lutheran churches in the country, in Littleton, Colorado. And on that day, he was getting ready to go out to a meeting, and he went past the reception desk, and the phones were ringing off the hook, and all of a sudden, the receptionist said, hey, Pastor Rick, you better take this call. And on the other end of the line were cries from help from inside Columbine High School. Students that didn't know where to call and were calling everybody they could try to get a hold of and were calling saying, help. And so he immediately grabbed his keys and went running out the door and showed up at Columbine High School and was one of the first civilians on the property as kids were running out and coming, and he was grabbing them and he was hugging them. And he was handing his cell phone to him and saying, call your parents, tell them you're safe. And he was helping to get them to safety. And then everybody went over to these other schools, and parents waited and waited as buses of kids came and showed up, and they waited to see, would my kid show up? It was after Columbine High School that unfortunately the term first responders became all too common to all of us. That now that you listen to the way that we use that term, that we talk about these people who are going in these very traumatic and crisis situations and responding. But it's caused me to think about, what does it mean for us to be first responders every day? What does it mean to respond, and what would our response be? That night, the church had to respond. And so they opened their doors in a packed sanctuary with students and parents and families from the community, packed the place to hold each other, to pray, and to say, what's going to get our attention, our minds, and our hearts now? And in the aftermath of Columbine, there were all kinds of debates and fights and arguments about the souls of these people. And people wanted to debate it. In fact, different churches from around the community, the anguish and the pain of this community, and people started fighting and debating. And some of them asked the questions of, what would it mean should we have 13 crosses that we put out in front of our church? 13 crosses to represent the students and the teacher that were killed that day. And then somebody else, another church, another group said, no, there ought to be 15 crosses. Because the 13, and then what about Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, who walked into the school that day armed with guns? And the debates and the conflict and the yelling continued. But their church, they knew they had to respond. And with a kind of theological precision, they responded by planting one cross in their front yard. They knew that in the most distracted, busy times in the history of the world, that maybe they didn't need to get pulled into this fight or this debate, but they needed to remember the spirit of a loving God. Reminds me of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 25, who reminds us that God will care for all the people and all the faces. The response is clear. All meant all. The poet Eugene Ware said that all glory comes from daring to begin. All glory comes from daring to begin. And what I know about that from my own life is that daring to begin is not a one-time thing. That in fact, as we talk about this word, remember that maybe our response to dare to begin is a daily choice. That we know that word remember, we have an effing problem, we forget. So we have to cognitively recall, why are we doing this? And we have to remember it. But then, what is our active choice to remember? That's why on the front of the book, it's a capital M, it's remember. Because an active choice to say, what does it mean for me to re-up my membership? Renew my membership to the people, to the places, to the things that are most important in my mind and in my heart. And that maybe we have to remember. Words that I know are important around here that are part of, I think, every service you do or come from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Those words that have become common, but we need to remember, we need to refresh our minds to hear them again, where it says, do justice, love kindness, walk humbly. The response and the message was clear. Do justice. Act. Put loving kindness into motion. Don't just think, but walk humbly with God. I wonder what it would look like for us to renew the memberships in our own lives, for the people and the places that mean the most to us. And what will our response be? dare to begin.